And welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendship, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and buckle up, Sarah J. Maas fans, because we are chatting all about Book 6, Empire of Storms, in the Throne of Glass series. And when I say we, I mean me and our lovely correspondent, Miss Melinda. Welcome back, friend.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I am excited to be here and chat with you about our never-ending mission of completing the Sarah J. Maas series, Throne of Glass.
Same.
Yes. This was the wildest ride from start to finish. And this was quite the pick-me-up from Queen of Shadows. Empire of Storms was a game changer. I mean, it was action-packed, solid story development, and character development, for that matter. And there was a massive cliffhanger that just killed my soul. That being said, you did the suggested tandem read where you went back and forth between Empire of Storms and Tower of Dawn. And you are a far better human than I am, because I was like, no, I don't want to hear about Kale. No, no, no. I want way more Aelin and Rowan and the whole dream team. What was it like for you? Did things make more sense as you were doing it, as you were reading in tandem?
They did. They made a lot more sense. So I got about 13 chapters into Empire of Storms when I realized that Empire of Storms was what you were supposed to read in tandem with Tower of Dawn. I thought it was Kingdom of Ash. Something got crossed in my wiring. So I went back to Tower of Dawn, read the chapters, but then I also did the tandem read with the EOS. So I like skimmed the chapters I already read. And it helped me get through Tower of Dawn for sure.
I bet.
And I was like, I know you started Tower of Dawn and you're having the same problems that I had, but now it's me encouraging you to keep going.
I know.
Instead of vice versa. I do have to say I read it on the Kindle and it made it very easy because you can highlight sentences, write down notes, can bookmark pages, and you can go back and forth between them. So it wasn't, I had to pick up one book, pick up the other book. It was just all in one read. I don't think I would have liked Tower of Dawn if I didn't do the tandem read with EOS.
Wait, and that being said, these two storylines, the reason it is suggested for you to read these two in tandem with each other is because the storyline lines up perfectly. So as Kale's story is happening, Aelin and the rest of the Dream Team story is also happening. I just remember thinking, I was like, why is there a book on Kale? Like, what is so great about this? Like, I don't get it. And I'm 13 chapters in, I was like, yep, still don't get it. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely like reading one book when you read them together.
Which it would be almost, 1,000 pages?
Yeah, and it went by fast.
All right. So that being said, what was your initial thought on Empire of Storms?
You know, we finished Queen of Shadows, the Glass Castle shattered. Dorian is recovering from the Valg. Aelin's reclaimed her throne. Kael's heading to the Torah for healing. Emanon is facing repercussions of saving Dorian. So everyone is just scattered. And Queen of Shadows was a very slow read. And this time, Empire of Storms, you know, it focused on our favorites like Aelin and Rowan, Lysandra, Aiden, Elite, and Lorcan. And once again, man, like Maas came at us with the last 100 pages. And it might be my favorite book so far in the series.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
Yeah. So when I finished Empire Storms, I think I messaged you and I was like, I have to be in my feelings and listen to the new Taylor Swift album. Because it's all about anger, betrayal, and loss. And I was like, nope, I need to put on the torture poets department and just balance out my feelings. It was like that scene in Lilo and Stitch when Lilo was laying on the floor playing the record of Elvis Presley. That was me.
So I was so angry. Don't get me wrong. The last 100 pages were solid, but I was livid. I was ready to throw shit. I remember messaging you and being like, I'm not okay. And now I have to go read a book about Kale before I can get to Kingdom of Ash. Are you kidding me right now? Ugh, book the table. But yeah, the cliffhanger on Empire Storms was wild. Are you ready for some tea?
Let's spill it.
All right. This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. So if you have not read Empire of Storms, we're about to spoil it for you. All right, my friend. There was a lot of action in this book. And I'm not just talking about the spiciness, which was well received and way overdue. But what storyline was the game changer for you?
The one storyline that had me literally stop reading. I set my Kindle down and I took in a gasp and I did not exhale for a while. It was when Rowan reached out to his cousins the night before the deadline that Maeve gave to Aelin. Oh. And his cousins raising the white thorn flags on their masts and turning their fleets onto Maeve's fleet. I wish I had recorded my reaction, but I was just too in the moment to even think about it.
The game changer moment for me was when all the characters finally come together at the Stone Marshes, and it's the wildest flipping ride in the history of Empire Storms. But you get to see Aelin really come into the full depths of her power. And it's at a very vulnerable time because the Ilken are flying in, like a huge flock. We're talking 500 plus Ilken, which are not friendly creatures. You do not want to run into these bad guys, okay? But Lorkhan sends off a warning signal, which Rowan is aware of or can feel, which gives them enough time to set up and prepare. And you get to see Dorian's power on display. You get to just see all, it's like seeing all these amazing Power Rangers come together under one roof and just shine. And while they're completely exhausted, and they won that battle, won the battle, kind of lost the war in that respect, but it was amazing. And this is one of the scenes that I would absolutely love to see on the big screen, whether it's in a theater or on TV. I was like, oh, this was written for TV, for sure.
That's a really good moment. Oh, and when Aelin like feels like Fenris and Gavriel and yells out to Lorkhan like Nessa did to Cassian when she felt the cauldron.
Again, with Crescent City being a crossover series to ACOTAR, there are some Easter eggs that because the series was written before ACOTAR, it's a giant tease as to what ACOTAR's potential is. Next series question. I don't think there's a wrong answer to this, but who is your MVP of Empire of Storms?
Okay, so I thought about this because my initial reaction was Lysandra. Okay. That girl has done so much in such a short amount of time. And we find out just how powerful she is. But then I thought, yeah, she helped win a couple of battles. But really, it was Manon and the 13 who turned the tide. She was the one who Aelin passed the word keys to, so Maeve wouldn't get it. And she was the one who accompanied Aelin into the mirror. But then I kept going back because Manon was there because of Abraxas. And the reason why Abraxas was there was because she told Abraxas to go somewhere safe and he went to Dorian. So this is my MVP official answer. Because if it wasn't for Dorian, none of this would have happened. He was the one who pieced together Deanna's riddle, and he was the one who figured out that both Manon and Aelin needed to get into the mirror. And he was the one that Abraxas thought was safe for Manon. So anyway, that's my MVP. My love, Dorian. Who's yours?
Okay, I also had like similar logic. So my initial go-to was Aelin for sacrificing herself because she's just a mastermind. She was so ahead of the game in damn near every chapter. I was like, well, son of a bitch. No, I did not see that one coming. Then my next thought was if Abraxas hadn't brought the 13 back with him, they probably would have been done for. They were already a sinking ship, even though that they had the army there fighting with them. And then there's Lysandra, who helped out in multiple battles. She came in hot at the end, cloning herself as Aelin. I was so impressed. So I think I'm going to give it to Aelin, but it's because she's constantly ahead of the game. Next serious question. What storyline did you love the most?
Okay, so when I thought about this, I went to the basic, well, it's Lorkhan and Aelin, and it's everyone else. That's how I saw the story get split.
Okay.
From the POVs.
Yes.
I did enjoy the Rowan and Dorian brother relationship building.
Okay.
When he had rescued Dorian from Rifthold and was rowing out, and Rowan was trying to teach him as much as he could about his magic. But I don't know. I have a soft spot for Aelin and Rowan, for sure. How Aelin went to Rolf as Selena, and had Lysandra come in as
other Selena, or Aelin,
as Queen Aelin. Yeah, as
yeah.
Queen Aelin. And Rolf was like, "I know she doesn't have a twin. What is? What the heck is going on?"
Right.
That was my favorite. And how Selena was like picking coins out of a bowl, like dropping them onto the back into the bowl, and flirting with Rowan. That was probably my favorite storyline. How about you?
So to me, it was kind of like a mic drop moment. But when they're leaving the stone marshes and they're almost to the beach and they see the army in the harbor and Aiden's jaw just drops and he's like, "Oh, we're being captured." And she's like, "Mm-mm, nope, try again. Yeah, you're wondering where our army is? There it is. I did that." And Rowan's stunned. I was stunned. Just another feather in this girl's cap of how well she was written. Again, I don't think there's a wrong answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Okay. Who are we shipping?
Oh my God. I am shipping Manon and Dorian 100%. 100. Like the whole Hi Witchling and Hello Princeling. It just had me swinging my feet. And the things Dorian says to Manon, it got steamy.
I almost regret not listening to the audio.
It's a good
idea.
I
want to know who this narrator is, and I want that voice to seep into my subconscious.
Yeah, right? Can we get a graphic?
Right? I'm sure it is. I'm sure it exists. Like, it has to exist at some point.
Oh, I know they started Throne of Glass.
Yes.
With graphic novels. So it's on its way. I'm assuming it's on its way.
I'm shipping Aelin and Rowan, obviously. But we've got so many couples to ship that we have options now.
So many. Like, I also love Lysandra and Aiden's relationship.
Right. It's more than flirtatious. It's,
yeah.
Okay, we're recognizing that there's a thing here and we're here for each other. We're just going to let it run its course. And when it does, we will be there. We will be there. I know we briefly touched on this. All right. I know we kind of touched on this earlier, but the ending was wild. So what are your thoughts on the ending of Empire of Storms?
I need this to be a TV show.
Okay.
Period. Period. I need to have the moment of the 13 coming with Abraxas to save Aelin's fleet. Like, I knew that was going to happen. Like, it was obvious that was where he went to. Because, you know, Manon is fretting about Abraxas and he hasn't come back yet. And where are they? And are they still alive? I'm like, girl, he is getting your fleet. Like, he's
see,
getting
I did
your
not
13.
Put that together.
Really?
At all.
Oh, I caught on real quick. But I need to have the moment where I believe it's Asterin circles and Rowan looks up and whistles at her and she whistles back to confirm his order. And I'm like, they better not cut this out if this becomes a show. I need to have that scene, that moment in it for sure.
Like I mentioned, there was some rage at the end, at the very end. And the brutal violence that Aelin had to go through of just being whipped on Maeve's command. I know we've mentioned this in a previous episode, but it was definitely giving Game of Thrones. And I was like, HBO, if you don't pick this up, this will be the dumbest move in the history of ever. This is definitely giving Game of Thrones. And I was enraged with how it was done, but based on how graphically it was done, I was livid. My female rage was on fire, no pun intended. Sorry, Aelin. Sarah J. Maas is so incredibly smart. I loved how Manon played it so cool with getting the word key. And Aelin did what she could to have that pass off. Aelin was oblivious and was like, "You're just going to stand there? Like, what's going on? Like, how can we just walk away? Like, why are we doing this?" And she was like, "Just shut up and we're going to walk now." Okay. And again, it was done beautifully, but Lysandra coming in hot as Aelin's double, for that matter, to convince the masses, no pun intended, that she was queen when Aelin was in fact kidnapped. So that way they could reconvene and regroup and try and find Aelin. It was done so well. Again, those last 100 pages really count, okay, in a Sarah J. Maas series, folks. It's honorable mention time. That's right,
whoop, whoop.
Folks. All right. What honorable mentions do you have to bring to the table?
I very much appreciate and enjoyed the moment where Aelin looked at Lysandra on the boat and was like, "It's time." And Lysandra's like, "Okay." And just sits on the railing of the ship and just falls over into the ocean. Yeah. And everyone runs, going, what the heck is happening? And she breaks the water as a sea dragon to, and basically that whole prophecy of the Messenians won't come back until the sea dragons do.
Yeah.
Honorable mention of that whole entire freaking scene. Do you have one?
I do. I actually loved Gavin's scene where Gavin makes finally, it's more than a cameo. Aelin puts the pieces together on where to meet Gavin because the little woodland creatures are leaving her little tidbits of information. And so she circles back to this temple that was actually made for her. And she realizes there's an army that, you know, a bad army that she wipes out. And she goes into this temple and she's like, all right, Gavin, if you need to talk to me, now's the time. Cue the full moon shining down. And he was like, I was waiting for you to show up. I'm glad you got my message. And again, I didn't see it coming at all, but he said what he needed to say and she picked up what he was putting down and I was here for it. Anywho, it was written beautifully and I'm glad we got to see Gavin's perspective come in. And now it is time for the spotlight of the week. Looking for a quick and honest review on an upcoming movie? Check out Parking Lot Reviews, where our lovely correspondent, Miss China, gives her hot take on a variety of movies the moment she leaves the theater. Follow Parking Lot Reviews on TikTok and Instagram at Parking Lot Reviews. The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, and we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts for a new, fun, fandom episode of the Fangirls Podcast. We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: Taylor Swift, Sarah J. Maas, or Bloomsbury Publishing. We're just massive fans.